This is Guy Bogart wishing a Merry Christmas to all of your cats and you in glorious joy at the homeward track of the sun with its life-giving rays, if they can get through the smog. Symbol of birth of creative forces, Holy Noel somehow makes us worthy of our potential longings and aspirations for brotherhood. At this season, we can sense with a special keenness the only real fact, force, and motive of life, namely love. I was pleased once, quite a few years ago, when Sir Rabindranath Tagore said of one of my little poems, "It is indeed remarkable." I'll share it with you tonight. Jesus and Siddhartha. One from the manger and one from the palace came, their goal the same, their search only to find liberation for mankind, one only solvent, love. And one died young and one lived long, yet sang the self-same song, one only hope in love. One died on the cross and one in peace, yet each found refuge and surcease in living the truth of love. Spires and domes and priests and creeds obscure their message for human needs and divert the stream of love. Yet the truth of the Christ and the truth of the Buddha is stronger than bricks and stones and greater far than sacraments and robes. One from the manger and one from the palace came when the world had need, and the message today is the same as living saviors sow the seeds of love. Love keeps no books and draws no distinctions, even as all masters have known the unity of life. Again, I have expressed my profoundly earnest belief that whoever you are, whatever your creed, whatever your color, whatever your nation, whether man, beast, plant, or mineral, whether incarnate or spirit, whether evil or good, you are my brother, and wherever you are, there may I worship. This, then, includes our cats, these little but not lesser brothers and sisters, these souls in fur whose prayer is a purr, the brilliant, bright poinsettia blossoms, its own red and green greetings to God and you and me. For is there a division between the Christmas garland, our cat, the sun on his return journey, you and God? Maybe the proverbial green thumb is a realization, conscious or not, of a living brotherhood with the plants and the breath of love with each planting. Don't be afraid to whisper to the friendly tree and the wee flower some love greetings. And when you hug your cat tonight, do it with a sense that it is the same part and pattern of life as yourself. For I am sure Tiny Tim's Christmas greeting, "God bless us, everyone," meant every spark of life, even to the dream buried in the crystal's mass or the twinkle of distant star. And so again, Merry Christmas, and let's lay at the feline tree a gift of a better year during 1954 for every cat. Mrs. Lenora B. Klusman sent me a tribute by an old and dear friend of over 30 years ago, James Warnick, for so many years the poet of the Los Angeles Times staff. Here's his tribute, quote, "Animals. God made them for his creatures, man's delight, and for the joy that they themselves might know in their brief sojourn through the veil of time. They have no part of God in them, you say? Then we who have God in us shall be judged by the same God who made them and made us for our behavior toward his lowlier forms. Let none mistreat them, nor consider them as creatures undeserving of our love. Perchance they look upon men as their gods. They suffer from unkindness and neglect. They thrill with happiness at gentle care and with a faith that man might emulate. They serve us humbly, gladly, through the years." Unquote. The James Warnick. Fortunately for me, I have never celebrated Christmas in all my 70 years, except down under my own roof tree, and never without a cat sharing the Yuletide with me, and in most cases with a blazing fireplace just as I faced the Christmas dawn today. So it is appropriate that I open tonight Lynn Hamilton's Sophisticats and turn to the poetry of another very dear friend and poet cat lover of Boston. We've shared together many of Mrs. Silence Bellow's poems, and with special appropriateness we read her Cat on the Hearth. The fireside flickers on the Chinese tray and on the books set snugly on their rack. Copper and silver flow beneath its play. The chairs are placed. What is that we lack? Ah, she comes. With each foot delicately placed, advancing like a vestal to the right, she scorns to move with unbecoming haste or note the lesser objects of her sight. She settles couchant, curves one placid paw beneath her chest, now curves its mate the same, yields to the promptings of some ancient law, and fastens thoughtful eyes upon the flame. Now let the night winds rise, the gray storms come. The cat is on the hearth. We are at home. That's by Silence Buck Bellows. From Boston, let us travel to Idaho, where another poet friend looks out into the Christmas night. Mrs. Jeanette DeLeon describes the night. A great black cat, the night, creeps over desert, lake, and hill, crawls over every mountain top, then brooding lies its belly pressed to earth. It sleeps, the crescent moon, one of its alert and slitted eyes. Thank you, Jeanette DeLeon. And from our cats, a merry, merry Christmas to you with your family in Idaho, and to Silence Buck Bellows in Boston and her two cats, Cricket and Maggie. Last Christmas, I read a little poem that is here repeated. Our dumb animals copied it from the Saturday Night Review of 1948. It is a lovely picture Ulrich Trubetsky has drawn. The innkeeper's cat. The cat climbed into the blazing night along the palm's elliptic stem, a speck in overwhelming light to prowl the roofs of Bethlehem. Midnight was chill, so he crawled back by the inn stable, where he knew warm creatures slept, but through the crack, strange radiance made him pause and mew. A man as stately as a king opened the door and let him in. He saw the gold, he heard them sing, his fur got prickly on his skin. He could not hum the hymns he heard, nor mumble prayers, but in caress he tiptoed to the child and purred and rubbed against his mother's dress. Few, if any of us, ever think of Christmas without a picture of Charles Dickens, who has done so much to build into the consciousness of everyone the deep meaning of Christmas love. Tiny Tim and his friendly circle. Going back 51 years on my cat library shelves, I have recently read the celebrated English magazine of another day, Our Cats, not to be confused with the present London magazine of the same name. The issue of Christmas 1902 has a note on Dickens' well-known love of cats. Quote, Charles Dickens was a great lover of all animals and would do almost anything for his own pets. Wilhelmina, a little white cat, was a great favorite with his entire household, but regarded the famous writer as her especial friend. She selected a corner of his study for her individual property and one day committed the indiscretion of bringing in her family of kittens from the kitchen one by one. Dickens had them taken out, but Wilhelmina brought them quietly back. Again they were removed, but the third time of the return, the little mother did not leave them in the corner. Instead, she placed them at her master's feet and, taking her stand beside him, looked imploringly up at him. That settled the question. Thereafter, the kittens belonged to the study and made themselves at home, swarming up the curtains, playing about the writing table, and scampering behind the bookshelves until they were one by one given away, all but a poor little deaf one, which from her devotion to Dickens became known as the master's cat. This little creature followed him about like a dog and sat beside him while he wrote. One evening Dickens was reading by a small table upon which stood a lighted candle. And as usual, the cat was at his elbow. Suddenly the light went out. Dickens was deeply interested in his book, and he proceeded to relight the candle, stroking the cat while he did so. Afterwards he remembered that his pet had looked at him somewhat reproachfully while she received the caress. It was only when the light again became dim that the reason of her melancholy dawned upon him. Unquote. This same bound volume of Our Cats, in its issue of January the 4th, 1902, has two notices of the Pacific Cat Club, Incorporated, of San Francisco, of which Mrs. Alice M. Clark has long been president. This 51-year-old report tells of the opening of the club's refuge. It is stated, quote, "The Pacific Cat Club is the pioneer in bringing to public attention the necessity of establishing a cat refuge in San Francisco. It is hoped to make the refuge largely self-supporting by stimulating an interest in the high-bred cat. Funds are secured to assist the less fortunate." Unquote. We are proud of this pioneer world leadership of the San Francisco Club as related in the London Our Cats. We are pleased also to turn to Volume 1, Number 1, of Our Cats magazine in January 1945 to the congratulatory message of the Pacific Cat Club Incorporated with a picture of its president, Alice M. Clark. But that's enough of retrospect. Here we are at the portals of 1954. I leave this thought with you for the coming year. From my paragraphs and fur baby voices, children of life, all people are my people, for we are the children of life. My people walk the ways of simple peace and march the fields of strife. My people wear the form of man or serve in coats of fur through city streets or other jungle plan. My people sing and speak or purr. All that live are my people. This is Guy Bogart with Christmas and love and joy to each of you who for parts or all of the past 3 years has shared with me the pleasure of KFOX Our Cats. May the great cat purr softly as you tuck into bed tonight and every night and each morn as you arise to a fresh incarnation of love and service with happy Christmas purrs.